Today on Real Radio.
It is so terrible. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's how bad it is. Not for humans.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? You know, when a person comes to true faith in God the Son, he's got to come to terms with, well, shall we say, unpleasant truths. One of those truths is that there's not only a heaven to gain, but a hell to shun. And if one's real, well, they're both real. Choosing to ignore the reality of eternal damnation, it doesn't make it just go away. Is hell real? And what is it like? Well, these are some key questions that Pastor Jack answers from the Scripture. Here he is now, pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
When you're a worshiper, people are going to know it. Why? Because you're in love. It's a choice. It's an awesome thing. And so when we worship Him, we are so grateful to be thanking Him. God, thank you so much that I don't have to worry about hell. I don't have to worry about it. See, that sounds pretty arrogant. Oh, it's not arrogant at all. Hey, listen, I once was lost, and now I've been found. I was once blind, and now I see. And the greatest joy in the universe is to find out. Oh, you guys, my heart broke this week. I'll show you pictures next week if I remember. But I was in Rome, and I don't know, can you see? I got a T-shirt. $5. $5 or €5 or like $200. I don't know. It's like the conversion rate make you want to just throw up. And Lisa and I, and you just want to cry. Lisa and I went to the oldest church, Catholic church, that is the oldest Catholic church in the world, in history, of all time. And I had to go there. We had to go there because, frankly, I didn't believe what I had always known about that, and that was that. And maybe some of you know this. There's a flight of stairs at this church. Martin Luther went up those stairs. And the sign is right there. And I'll show you the picture of the sign. It says, nobody gets to the top of these stairs without going up on their knees. And I snuck out my camera and I'm taking pictures because you wouldn't have believed it. But there are people on their knees. Each step on the stairs, they're praying their prayers, and when they're done, they move to the next step. And then there's two sets of stairs on the other side where pagans like myself could just walk up, and then you come to the top and you can watch all these people go through their suffering and torment and pain to get to the top. By the way, Martin Luther got to the top, and his knees were bleeding. He got to the top, and he said, what am I doing here? Jesus did it all for me. Martin Luther said, wait a minute. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, not by going up a stair with bloody knees. What does that do? And a person tonight might be saying, oh, I'm so afraid of hell. I'm so afraid of hell. Listen, hell is a horrible thing. It's unbelievable. It has not even entered our minds how bad hell is. It is so terrible. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's how bad it is. Not for humans. But when a human says, I will not bow my knee to you, God, You say, oh, Jack, what's the difference then from going up the stairs on your knees or bowing your knee to Jesus? Listen, one is made out of granite, and it's as cold as ice. The other, oh, see, there's no gun involved. The other is, Lord, not only one knee, but both knees. But Lord, I gladly prostrate myself out before you and worship in praise. Lord, you want me to stand on my head? What do you want me to do? I'll do anything you want me to do. Because Lord, you know what? You rescued me from hell. And Lord, I love you for that. I thank you for that. Well, the Bible, listen, what is hell like? Well, it's a place, listen, strange way to put it this way. It's a place of perfect justice. Did you know that? Can you imagine tonight? Now, don't raise your hand, but which one in here tonight, who in here tonight has lived the most sinless life today? You've lived the most sinless life today. Guess what? No matter how sinless of a life that you live today, and if you raise your hand, we're calling for the guys with the straight jacket. No matter how good of a person you are, never, never, never say to God, God, I want justice in my life. Don't ever say that. Give me justice, God. Remember when Napoleon was invading and getting ready for a great battle, and one of his troops defected, and they wound up finding that troop, that soldier, having defected. And Napoleon said, cut his head off. He's a traitor. And his mother came flying out of the house. She grabbed a hold of Napoleon's boot that was still in the stirrup. And she said, Emperor Napoleon, I ask you for mercy. And he said, this man deserves to die. And she said, Emperor Napoleon, I beg of you mercy. And he says, justice demands this man dies. And she said, General Napoleon, I didn't ask for justice. I asked for mercy. In hell, there is no mercy. In hell, there's perfect justice. And this is hard for us. I honestly must confess, I have to receive this by faith because it's in the Bible. Justice on a level that you and I as humans have never known. Justice that the Supreme Court will never know. Justice that this world and its rulers can never achieve. A level of justice that, in fact, Abraham said, shall not the God of all the earth do right? The word is do justly. Everything that the Lord does is just. Everything. It's perfect justice. And we've been, in our culture, polluted and deluded by our culture, what justice is. We have a situational justice. It depends. Well, you know what? It's temporarily insanity on this part, or, you know, he didn't have a nice home when he was raised. That's why he murdered that child, or this person did that because, you know, of the other. God will exercise perfect justice. When mercy needs to be extended, mercy will be extended. But when you talk about hell, hell is a place where justice in its purest form is levied. And no one in hell tonight, we know this from the Bible. Nobody in hell tonight is saying, hey, I got ripped off. You know what? I got set up. We know this for a fact. Where do we know? Where's that in the Bible? Come back next week because I'm running out of time. I'll tell you exactly where it's at. It's amazing. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, that is appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Now that verse is appointed predominantly to the non-believer. The Bible says if you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've passed from judgment to life. Why? How? Because he was judged in our place. That's called salvation, redemption. You don't want to stand before God and be judged? There's only one way out. Get to Jesus quickly. Run! But the Bible mentions hell or Hades, goes by several names in the Bible, by the way, rather interesting. And I encourage you to do a deeper study on it. When we talk about in our English Bible, you see the word hell or Hades. In the Greek language, there's Tartarus. Say tartar sauce. No, it's Tartarus. It's a horrific place where demons seem to be held, where certain fallen angels are held. There's the Abuso in the Bible. All under the English word hell, Gehenna, which is the place of burning, Sheol, the lake of fire, the bottomless pit. It goes on and on in Scripture. There's many different names and various levels, by the way, of torment and of punishment. That's recorded in the Bible. But the Bible says it's real. John chapter 5, verse 28. Jesus says, "Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming." Listen to this. "In which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." Listen, those who have done good, it's an interesting word. Those who have done good, it's not that you've done really good things and God says, "Man, you get to come in." It's amazing. It's those who have done good in that you have believed on him whom God has sent. It's amazing. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have exercised or done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation. What is it like? Simply put, hell, if someone were to ask you, what's it like? Well, outside of all of the graphic presentations that the Bible has, it's a place of perfect justice, which produces, obviously, it's just punishment. And then we'll end right here. The origin of hell itself, listen, is hell forever? People are asking this. Listen, you can go to Christian bookstores and buy books. You'll spend all kinds of money. And you'll have these famous authors that completely disagree. Is it forever? No, it's part-time. It's not. It's sort of. It's not, but it feels like, how do they know? By the way, beware of books that tell you, well, you know, I had a near-death experience. You know, you ever seen those things? I had a near-death experience. You always get very, very leery of the one that's printed up in some pamphlet or book. And, you know, Freddie Johnson talks about his near-death experience. Well, how was it? It's pretty cool. Okay, that bothers me right there. It's pretty cool. Well, what happened? I was in the hospital. They're operating on me. Everything was going bad. And next thing I knew, I was in the corner of the room looking down at my body, watching everything. They were all, and the line went flat, and they were like, you know, electrocuting me to try to get me going and all that stuff. And then I started floating away, and it felt so good. It felt amazing. And I was going down this tunnel. You ever heard this? Going down the tunnel, there's a bright light coming, and I'm just kind of like that, and it's very peaceful and calm. And next thing I knew, I woke up, and I was back, and they're stitching me up, and I was in recovery. And so what? And so I'm not afraid to die now. I know that it's really cool on the other side. You concluded, first of all, while you were on the operating bed, stoned out on some sort of drug, that this was real. Oh yeah, forget the Bible. I mean, it felt great. And what did you see? I saw this light coming at me. And you're in a tunnel. If I was in a tunnel and I saw a light coming at me, I'd get off the track. But people have an experience like that, and then they bait. Now, you're going to come up to me after service and say, well, Pastor, you highly offended me because I had that experience. Let me tell you something. Paul the Apostle had a near-death experience. Paul the Apostle said, listen, first of all, I got to see heaven. And it's so amazing, I can't talk about it. Paul the Apostle said it's illegal for a human to speak of how awesome heaven was, okay? So he didn't even talk about it. If Paul the Apostle ain't going to talk about it, then you should not write your book. And when somebody says, oh, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Joseph Smith, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me because I had a really cool experience laying on the hospital bed. Listen, there's a serious problem there. You've been completely schnookered by the enemy, Satan. Because if people say, oh, I don't need Jesus, I had a near-death experience, you just got lied to by a demonic activity. It's forever, according to the Bible. Listen to this. In Matthew 18:8, Jesus called it the everlasting fire. You know the word he used? If he wanted to use the word part-time, he could have. There is a Greek word and an Aramaic word and a Hebrew word. Jesus spoke all three of those languages in the Bible. He could have used any word of those. He had three languages to pick from. He used the word aionios. You know what aionios means? Forever. Not a long time. Not a really long time. Eternal time. You see, Jack, that seems unfair to me. That's why we'll get into next week. What? Why? How can God, who's all holy, pure, and just, how can it be justified that a person suffers forever in this place called hell? To you and I, that thing's like, we think, that's a little extreme, isn't it? I mean, doesn't he get like a get-out-of-jail card? You know what? I've been so convicted over this message and preparing it. You know why we think like that? Because we have such a pathetic, puny, disgusting, impotent view of the holiness of God and of the price that Christ paid for how wicked sin is. We don't think about it, so we go, well, that doesn't seem right to me. When we have no idea what we're talking about. In Matthew 25:46, Jesus said, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Guess what? Both destinations are not metaphorical. Think of this. When we talk about life, you guys, when you and I talk about life, life compared to what are we talking about? You say, what'd you write that down for? It's in my notes. What's that for? Life. What do you mean life? Not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, third service. Immediately left third service, drove straight to LAX to get on the plane, and it was a... I'll just tell you honestly, because it was a KLM flight. You know KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines? Because my connection was in Amsterdam to Rome. We're getting there on the plane, and I could hear people standing around. They're talking, and they're going home. Some of them are going home. I can't wait to leave this stinking country. Well, by their accent, didn't bother me at all. Seriously, I thought, well, they're just going home. That's okay. I've understood. There's countries I've been in, and I thought to myself, I can't wait to leave this stinking country. But then I heard why. Yeah, I can't wait to leave this stinking country. You can't drink or get drunk in public here. Uh-huh, listen. You can't smoke pot in public here. And there's no topless beaches here. I can't wait to leave this country and get back home. That's what I heard. Well, you know what? You think about that for a minute. Life compared to what? Does that... I should have just gotten into this incredible argument with the guy in the line, but... So what's that comment mean? I'd love to know. Tell me what that means. Oh, man, when you're just potting it up and drinking it up and taking off your top, man, that's living. Is that what you mean by life? Hey, look, what if you did that once or twice? Woo, man, that's cool. What if you do it 300 times? What if you do it 3,000 times? Is that life? Are you living? The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. Is hell forever? And we don't like the way that sounds. Well, your definition of life might be different than my definition of life. My definition of life was different than that group that was standing in line at the airport. What about purity? God's view of purity, God's definition of purity is different than ours. What about death? We don't like the definition of death. Freaks us out. God says, hey, for the believer, death's, it's just a shadow, dude. It's just a passing through. It's no big deal. What about heaven? Went to sites this week and studied amazing, insane concepts of heaven. I went to the shrine of Pan, and he's there. And the statue's there, and you would offer your child. In the Roman Forum, you'd offer your child to the god Pan. And the screams and the cries of the child was proof that Pan was accepting the child's life as an offering. And then you went down 100 feet to the next temple. And you can worship Diana there. And you can go from god to god to god to god. They're all there. The pantheon's there. Still standing. Paul the Apostle saw it. Still standing there. Almost completely. Just perfect. 2,000 some odd years old. Pan. Theo. On. Whatever god you want to worship, you worship. And isn't it interesting? None of them taught about a hell that awaits those who disobey and turn their back on the one true God who lives for all time and eternity, who the Bible says loves you. We have to end right here for tonight, but I got to tell you, this God of the Bible trumps these gods that people carve out of their hands and make up in their heads. And his first declaration is, I love you. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to rescue you from the grip of hell. I don't believe in hell. Just shut your yapper and listen to what I'm telling you. I'm going to save you from the grip of hell. And I'm going to deliver you into the kingdom of the Son of my love. And I'm going to adopt you as though you have always been mine to begin with. And you will live for me forever.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that answers the question, is hell real, and what is it like? It's a scriptural look at the harsh reality that every true believer must come to terms with. Again, the title, Is Hell Real, and What Is It Like? It's a key part of Pastor Jack's series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that tonight, and every Monday night for that matter, you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Now, by the way, did you get to catch last Monday's program? It was awesome. I got a lot out of it. In fact, if you missed it, just click on the Video on Demand tab right there at the top of the page. And then, of course, don't forget to watch tonight's edition of Real Life with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. By the way, our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.